Hello, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. Cuba has been out of bounds for American tourists for more than 50 years. But with the U.S. recently restoring diplomatic relations, travel to Cuba for U.S. citizens is getting easier. And some say it's just a matter of time before the floodgate opens to a whole generation of baby boomers wanting to experience firsthand some of Hemingway's favorite watering holes.
Well, certainly I think in the short term there will be capacity constraints until investment caught up in terms of hotel rooms and infrastructure to meet that demand.
Nicole Laframboise is a deputy division chief in the IMF's Western Hemisphere Department and recently wrote about how the thaw in relations between the U.S. and Cuba could shake up the Caribbean tourism industry. Her article was published in the September 2015 edition of Finance and Development magazine. If this travel restriction is actually lifted, do you think that Americans will flock to Cuba and want a vacation in Cuba? And if so, how many more tourists can Cuba accommodate at this point?
I think it's fair to say that there will certainly be demand for tourism on the part of Americans to Cuba. There were two periods where the U.S. relaxed restrictions in 1999 and again in 2008. And subsequent to that, there was an immediate increase in U.S. travel to Cuba.
Even with the sort of more or less complicated procedure?
Very complicated. And there was, like, people had to meet certain criteria, but there was a very sharp increase. For instance, since 2009, you know, it grew by 225% approximately. And then even this year, with more positive expectations, in the first 6 months of 2015, the data released from Cuba shows across the board increase in travel to tourist arrivals to Cuba. And they don't publish for the U.S., but they have an other category, which is probably mostly U.S., and it has increased by about 18% in the first 6 months of the year.
It's fairly significant, but can they actually accommodate these people?
Well, I mean, they're already Cuba is one of the biggest markets in the Caribbean. It already receives, you know, millions of tourist visitors a year. But if there were to be a huge influx in the short term, there would be some capacity constraints until investment caught up in terms of hotel rooms and infrastructure to meet that demand.
Currently, are the rates competitive in Cuba for Canadians and other countries who are allowed to travel to Cuba? Are those rates competitive as compared to other tourist destinations in the Caribbean?
I think they are. Aside from the U.S. restriction, it's a fairly competitive market for the rest of the world. And travelers that go to from Canada go all over the Caribbean. Their number one destination is Cuba.
Some see this the existing travel restriction that has been in place for so long as being like a protectionist policy. That works in the favor of other tourist destinations in the Caribbean. How would removing it affect those other tourist hotspots?
Well, the key empirical work that is sort of the starting point for this question of how will the opening of trade and tourists between the U.S. and Cuba affect the Caribbean region was undertaken by Mr. Rafael Romeu. And his approach, which I think is generally accepted, is that the costs in the past for Americans associated with getting to Cuba are significant. And you either, you know, had to travel to a third country like Mexico or Canada, which is a significant extra cost. Or if you wanted to, if you met the criteria under the U.S. law, you had to go through the process of approval and etc. So those are significant costs, and you can look at those like as a tariff on the consumption of the Cuba tourist product. So that's considered as a trade protection in favor of all the other markets, particularly the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico that have, you know, what we could call full market integration because there's no border issues and the same currency, etc. Now, removing those, that's the sort of big question. There's a lot of interest in the region, and certainly unclear. But Romeu's research, sort of two big takeaways. One was he found with the sort of model he used that there would be an increase in overall arrivals. So in other words, the pie would grow. But of course, in the short term, as we noted, there would be probably some capacity constraints in Cuba. And that ultimately would then lead to some redistribution. Actually, he found that countries that were culturally different from the U.S. would do better. So in other words, Guadeloupe, Barbados, et cetera, whereas countries that were closer to the U.S. culture or had the same language, like the U.S. Virgin Islands, where their large share of tourists are already coming from the U.S., that those could lose proportionally. So there would possibly in the short term be winners and losers. But it depends, I think, how much the pie grows and also, you know, how many American tourists come to Cuba.
Do you think that the lifting this travel restriction, the changes that or the impact it will have on the industry in the region will be a lasting effect? Or do you think that this might just be a novelty that wears off in time, that fades away, that Americans may not, in the long term, want to travel or vacation in Cuba?
I think it would have a lasting impact, definitely, particularly if it does lead to a sustained period of growth in tourist arrivals, in the sense that there is enough interest and the capacity grows. There's a large supply of, you know, potential American tourists who would want to go to Cuba once, so that could last a long time. You know, the transition period could be interesting and possibly difficult for some, but you could end up in a new steady state equilibrium where it's looking somewhat similar to what prevails now, but it's at a much higher volume or expanded scale of the sector in terms of arrivals. So I think my view is that it probably would have a lasting impact.
That was Nicole Laframboise, a deputy division chief in the IMF's Western Hemisphere Department and author of Yankees in Havana, published in the September 2015 edition of Finance and Development magazine. You can read the full article by going to imf.org/FND, that's FANDD, or download the FND app to read the magazine on your mobile device. And for more podcasts like this one, go to soundcloud.com/imf-podcasts.